It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. As Texas lawmakers return to Austin this week, they're dealing with a slimmer budget. There's less money to spend because of the downturn in the oil and gas industry. The state's Oil and Gas Association suggests there's one way to address that downturn. It's asking lawmakers to reauthorize the Railroad Commission of Texas. Don Staples is president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association. He talked with David Brown, host of Public Radio's Texas Standard.
Connect the dots here. Why reauthorize the Railroad Commission? What's that got to do with the downturn in the revenues?
Texas is an oil and gas state. And when the oil and gas industry is suffering, the Texas economy suffers, the Texas budget process suffers. The Railroad Commission is the regulatory authority for the oil and gas industry. And as an industry, we want to see the Railroad Commission properly funded, having the staffing levels that they need, having the information technology resources that they need. So we think having a properly funded agency will lead to more rapid investment.
The Railroad Commission as a regulatory authority has historically been very closely tied with the oil and gas industry here. People raising concerns about campaign financing, about who's paying for folks running for election, whether or not science might be getting ignored by members of the Railroad Commission trying to curry favor with the oil and gas industry. Those are very serious concerns.
And I think the facts do point out that the Texas Railroad Commission is a science-based regulatory agency. We know that seismicity has been an issue on the minds of a lot of Texans.
This is the wastewater that is suspected of causing some kind of, not earthquakes so much, although there have been earthquakes in Oklahoma.
Sure.
But a lot of seismic activity.
A lot of seismic activity. And the scientists that look at this think that saltwater disposal wells could be a contributing factor to that.
Right.
Our industry is partnering with the University of Texas Bureau of Economic Geology, helping develop and provide information so that the scientists can use to evaluate what's going on.
As we ease out of this dramatic downturn, now we have started to see prices of West Texas Intermediate, the benchmark crude, start to rise a little bit. But we're nowhere close to where they were 2013, top of 2014 levels. We're right around $50 a barrel, right?
That's correct.
That's sustainable?
I think at the current pricing levels, you won't see the level of investment that we saw back in the 2013-2014 time period and even prior to that. I think you'd have to have a higher price point to really draw that kind of capital.
How healthy would you gauge the Texas oil and gas industry right now?
With the continued uptick in pricing, with natural gas prices bumping up a little bit, we're seeing a stronger commitment for dollars and spending and job creation in Texas this year than we did last year. But we are making strides and making gains.
That was Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, talking with David Brown, host of Texas Standard. Novelist Zadie Smith will be in North Texas this weekend. She's won multiple awards for her books, White Teeth and On Beauty. Today on Think, she talked with Chris Boyd about the experience of looking back at her earliest work.
I think most of us, if we had to look at, you know, our journals or the little short story we wrote when we were 21, would feel quite sick that process. But of course, what I wrote when I was 21 is on bookshelves all over the place. So I'm confronted with it a lot. But as you get older, maybe you also get a bit more gentler towards your younger self, no? Like when I look at books from the past that I've written, it's not that I love them. I can't say I love them. But I do think some variety of, I don't know, like You Go Girl, that's not bad. 21, you got a lot of energy. Perhaps it's a bit overwritten, but I feel such a distance from it that I'm impressed in a distant way. Like, I can't imagine doing that now.
Zadie Smith's newest novel is called Swing Time. She speaks at DMA Arts and Letters Live on Saturday. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can listen to the podcast at think.kera.org. The term sanctuary city has become a political lightning rod. 2 years ago, Texas lawmakers tried and failed to pass a bill to restrict cities and institutions from being sanctuaries for undocumented immigrants. Governor Greg Abbott and President-elect Donald Trump have joined that call, and a new bill is on the table in Austin. Senate Bill 4 would ban sanctuary cities. A coalition of law enforcement and immigration advocates held a press conference today to oppose the proposed legislation. Captain Shelley Knight is with the Dallas County Sheriff's Department.
Our job as law enforcement is to protect our communities. If you pass Senate Bill 4, what that will do is cause us to be federal immigration officers. and we will lose the trust of the communities that we have.
Meanwhile, last month, students at two Denton universities held rallies to have their schools declared sanctuary campuses. As Gus Contreras reports, defining what a sanctuary is isn't so easy.
It's a buzz phrase, guaranteed to get cheers on the campaign trail.
And I've declared that we are going to pass a law banning sanctuary cities in the state of Texas.
Block funding for sanctuary cities. We block the funding. No more funding.
Governor Greg Abbott and President-elect Donald Trump seem pretty sure of that definition. But things can get kind of tricky.
One of the challenges is that the term does not have a particular meaning.
That's Alyssa Steglich. She's an immigration law professor at the University of Texas at Austin.
It mostly refers to policies that are favorable toward immigrants and generally suggesting that their employees or staff will not be participating in immigration enforcement.
So, how does Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez define it?
First of all, nobody can give me a definition of sanctuary city. Everybody has their own idea of what a sanctuary city is. My idea is somebody that saves you from everything. And Dallas will never be in that situation, or I don't think any other city will be in that situation.
Valdez made headlines 2 years ago when she tweaked the rules about how long detainees are held at the county jail. Federal immigration officials can request that they be kept an extra 48 hours until the agents can get there. The county had been sued for holding some detainees too long. Governor Abbott and others criticized her for releasing them too soon and not checking their documentation. Here he is on Fox News.
Because it was the sheriff of Dallas County who said that she was not going to enforce laws against people who were seeking sanctuary. And when she saw what my order was, she quickly backtracked on that. And listen, all we're asking them to do is to follow and apply the federal law of the United States of America.
Valdez doesn't see it that way.
I know there's a misconception in this whole area that I don't do that, but I do. I've always said, if you come here to cause crime, you don't belong here. As a matter of fact, I wish I could do something with the Americans who do that.
Valdez herself is a former Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer. The agency wouldn't comment on tape. Spokesman Carl Rusnak wrote in an email that ICE has an active working relationship with Dallas Sheriff's Office. And Valdez agrees.
I don't have any problem with ICE. We'll continue turning over the people that ICE asked us for. ICE can't afford to pick up 11 million people. They don't have the time, the resources, the place to put them. They don't have any of that. So, of course, they're going to ask for the people that they think are causing problems. Those are the ones we're turning over. So what's going to change?
The Texas Tribune combed through ICE records in 2015 and found that Dallas County declined those federal requests just two times. That compares to 72 in Travis County and 11,000 in California. Alyssa Steglich points out that federal agents could have gotten the county to hold those two detainees by simply getting a warrant from a judge. Still, Governor Abbott and some legislators have an idea how to enforce compliance.
To withhold funds to cities or counties that are declaring themselves to be sanctuary cities.
Similar calls also came from Trump's campaign. Again, Sheriff Lupe Valdez.
What are they going to pull funding for? Because I don't comply with ICE? Go look at it. I comply with ICE. So then it would be easy for us, you know. No, it doesn't make any sense for them to try and do that.
That sets up round two of this battle in Austin. State Senator Charles Perry of Lubbock has revived his proposal to ban so-called sanctuaries. And he's got a powerful ally, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Gus Contreras, KERA News.
Should be mostly cloudy skies later tonight, a low around 64. Tomorrow, cloudy, slight chance for showers with a high around 75. And tomorrow night, cloudy skies, a 30% chance for storms with a low around 60. It's currently 75 degrees in Dallas, 74 in Fort Worth, 73 in Tyler, and 71 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.